Well, good evening. Welcome to Fellowship Baptist Church tonight. So glad you've joined us for our Wednesday night, what we're calling a Sunday school on Wednesday night, and what a blessing this has been, and praising the Lord for all that He's doing. So good to have Tim Gaynor's family here with us tonight, and they're traveling through here to see the oldest graduate, and what exciting time that is. We also have five graduates here in our church. This Sunday we'll be honoring our high school graduates, and they need to be here at 10:15 in the front lobby and wearing their caps and gowns. But it'll be Lydia, Samuel, Kaylin, Brandon, and Morgan are all graduating from high school. That's hard to believe some of those are graduating, but praise the Lord for that. And this Saturday is Kaylin and Morgan's graduation party in the gymnasium. And that's at 3 o'clock from 3 to 5 p.m. in the gymnasium. And then a week from Saturday, the youth are having a car wash to help raise funds for the youth conference in Gatlinburg. And that is from 10 to 2 a week from Saturday. And then also, I have a note here, baby Giovanni has arrived. Join in the celebration of James and Jesse, Lord O's baby boy, by blessing them with gifts. They sit right here in the second row. They were here Sunday morning. Gifts will be given to the family after the morning service on Sunday, June the 12th. So that's a week from Sunday. Place your gifts in the church's copier room. Thank you for sharing God's love with this dear family. So if you can help with that, that would be a blessing as well. Let's pray for our services before we get started as we begin a new series tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. How we so need your love, but we're so unworthy of your love. And Lord, we thank you so much that you are willing to love us. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you have given us, the week that you've given us thus far. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us this evening. As we open the Word of God, Holy Spirit of God, direct us, teach us, show us, Lord, what we need from this portion of Scripture. And we're going to praise and honor and glorify you that all that's said and done this evening, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll be in Matthew chapter 13 as we begin this new series, as we've concluded the series looking at the encounters of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. We just finished that last week. And this week we begin that new series of looking at the parables of Jesus Christ in much more detail. But before we begin the series, let me introduce it to you tonight. You know, stories, books and stories capture our attention. And they can become very powerful teaching tools in our lives. I pray you all love to read. We have a generation coming up now that does not like to read. My children do not like to read. I know my son can count on one hand how many books he's ever read in his life. To me, that's a crying shame because there are some wonderful books. Growing up, we'd be taken to the library and there'd be, you know, the summer reading programs and the summer reading contest and how many books you can read. And we'd find ourselves just sitting on a library floor and start reading a book there in the library. I love to read, and now I get to read for a living. I get paid to read. What a joy that is. So when I get home, I don't feel like reading. I read all day long, but I love to read. I pray you do too. It can be a powerful teaching tool. If we take a moment and we think about the stories and the books that we have heard or we have read throughout our life, just hearing some of the great opening sentences or some of the great lines from literature would bring back flooding our minds with memories of great stories, captivating stories, stories that have grabbed our attention and taught us life lessons. Let me give you just a few. See if you can name the book before I mention it. The strongest of all warriors are these two, time and patience. Time and patience. It's War and Peace by Leo Tolstoy. The cold passed reluctantly from the earth, and the retiring fogs revealed an army stretched out on the hills, resting. The red badge of courage, Stephen Crane. It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your front door. J.R.R. Tolkien, The Lord of the Rings. Once, everybody will get this one. Once there were four children whose names were Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy. This story is about something that happened to them when they were sent away from London and during the war because of the air raids. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. C.S. Lewis. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. A Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens. All children except one grow up. Peter Pan, J.M. Barrie. One of my favorite books. He was an old man who fished alone in a skiff in the Gulf Stream, and he had gone 84 days now without taking a fish. The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway. In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me some advice that I've been turning over in my mind ever since. The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Another favorite. You can't stay in your corner of the forest waiting for others to come to you. You have to go to them sometimes. Anybody? Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne. As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where was a den and laid me down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. If you've read any of these stories and you remember and collect in your mind those memories of reading that story, memories just started flooding your mind of the rest of that story. These are just a smattering. I could have gone into poetry and talked about Robert Frost or great Shakespeare himself or many, many others that we could look at that could bring back those things that captured our attention. What if we took the time to reflect on our school days and to our favorite teachers? Surely you had one. Surely there was one at least that inspired you and caused you to desire to know more about that subject they were teaching. Did they cause you to desire to even go beyond the required course requirements? Did their lectures and instruction cause you to become alert and attentive to what they were saying? Those were inspiring teachers. Well, our newest series, The Parables of Jesus, is a series like none other. We have the greatest teacher who ever walked the face of this earth as the instructor, as the penman, as the author, as the Word. People would gather from far and wide to hear Him speak, to hear Him teach, and to listen to His stories. Notice in Matthew 13 and verse number 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now, if you're anything like me, when I pick up a book or I pick up the Bible and I jump right into a verse, I'm like, okay, what house? Where was the house at? What was the seaside? What was the sea he was at? That causes me just want to dig deeper and deeper and deeper to find out all I can about this one verse. That's not our purpose tonight. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And so if you've ever been to the coast or been out in a boat away from the coast and you speak, your voice carries over the water. And so he had a great platform to speak because his voice would carry from the water to the shore where all were there to hear. And he spake many things unto them in parables. In parables. But what is a parable? Why did Jesus use them? In this introduction of this new series, let's answer these questions and prepare for a journey through several of the most famous of his parables. If we read through the gospel records of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we will find Jesus often teaching people using parables. Parables provide us truth in a compelling and mind-stimulating way. Of course, the parables of Jesus are stories he told that often made a lot more sense to those that were there in that setting at that time. Therefore, some of these parables can be challenging for us to grasp. Over the next several weeks, we will study and learn from Jesus' teaching ministry through His parables. Remember, Jesus' teaching ministry lasted just 3 years, 3.5 years before He went to the cross of Calvary. And in that time, Jesus used the parables extensively through his teaching ministry years. It is said that approximately 35% of all of Jesus' teaching is preserved in the Gospels is in parable form. So he used parables a third of the time. So we ask, what is a parable? Why did Jesus decide to teach in parables? What are they about? And how should we interpret them? The succeeding lessons going forward will examine individual parables and will dig deep into their meaning and interpretation. But let's begin with understanding what is the definition of a parable is basically an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, but it's so much more than that. The word parable comes from a Greek word that means to lay alongside of. To lay alongside of. And that's what parables do. They take eternal spiritual truths and lay them alongside everyday life events. It means to place beside, to cast alongside. As used in the New Testament, it is usually a story or a narrative drawn from events of nature or of common life from which spiritual lessons can be made of a comparison. There's always a deeper meaning in the parables. But why did Jesus teach in parables? In other words, why didn't he speak straightforward so all could understand his teaching? Why disguise them in some story format with a hidden meaning? When Jesus started teaching in parables to the people, His disciples asked them that very question. Notice in verse 10 of Matthew 13. And the disciples came and said unto Him, "Why speakest Thou unto them in parables?" So they're asking the very same question we're asking. Jesus, why are You speaking in these parables? Well, Jesus is going to give them an answer. And it seems strange to hear Jesus saying these words. Notice verse 11. He answered, Jesus is answering the disciples' question. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." It's not given them to know the mysteries of heaven. In other words, the parables that Jesus speaks, a third of His teaching ministry, the parables that Jesus teaches are meant to divide the crowd from those that are able to know and those that are not able to know. Notice verse 12. He goes on with His explanation. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." What a strange verse. "But blessed are your ears, your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." While this may seem as if Jesus denied some people access to what He was saying and to His message, it's not that at all. He's saying it's not the message I'm dividing the crowd over. It's the response of the crowd. The parables themselves present very clear stories from everyday life that people lost and saved would understand. The sower and the seed. The woman going to find the lost coin. The leaving the 99 and going to find the one sheep. Stories that all people, lost or saved, would understand. They would hear it. They would see the speaking. They would understand. But the response is the dividing factor. Jesus does not code His teaching to prevent some people from understanding, since all equally understand these imagery of these stories. All those gathered there certainly comprehended the aspects of the everyday life story. So He's not hiding the story from them. The audience attending His teaching was mixed, though. Some were believers, and others were unbelievers. Some had placed faith in His person and His offer of eternal life. But others had rejected His offer of Himself as their Messiah, or were still on the fence. Is He or isn't He? It was impossible to separate these groups, just like the wheat and the tares. Jesus knew their hearts, but man does not.
So,
by resorting to parables, Jesus is effectively separating the truth seekers from the curiosity seekers. That's the division. Are you a truth seeker or are you a curiosity seeker? Those seeking the truth would agree with Matthew 13, 36. Notice, then Jesus sent the multitude away. What was the multitude? Those were the curiosity seekers. And went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They said, we want to know what this parable means. They're truth seekers, not curiosity seekers. The curious could be easily sent away. But if you're there on the fence, was he the Messiah or not? I need to know what this means. It's not just a story. And they tarry, wanting to become a truth seeker. His miracles had attracted crowds, multitudes of crowds. And others had perhaps been astonished by his early teaching and wanted to see who this Jesus is for themselves. Curiosity seekers. But the parables themselves, just as the story of the seed falling on different types of ground, reveal the true nature of their response and their decisions. Those committed to the kingdom of God would seek and find further understanding, seeking the understanding of this parable, what is the truth here? But those uncommitted, those curiosity seekers, listening only because of excitement, would reject going deeper to understand truth. Oh, it was a good story. Did you hear that story he told? My, what a great story. And he got over here, the truth seekers like, declare unto us what this means. We need to know. The great majority of the people of Jesus' day were not interested in God's truth. My, we can see that today as well. The great majority of people today are living their lives as today is the day that we're going to enjoy all that we can, and tomorrow we're going to wake up and do the exact same thing. Forget the truth of God. The reason the curiosity seekers did not understand Jesus' parables is because they did not want to hear. Notice verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They're not wanting to know anything other than this wonderful story. Come to church, you hear the Word of God preached, and you hear the enthusiasm of our pastor or any guest preacher. I wonder if you're coming to hear the stories, the great illustrations, and not the truth. Are you a curiosity seeker or are you a truth seeker? Jesus makes a very clear distinction between these two. They'd be given ears to hear, and those who persisted in unbelief, it says over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They hear, but they don't hear. So what are these parables about? Again, Jesus gives us the explanation in Matthew 13. And verse 11, we read again, as the disciples asked, "Why do you speak in parables?" He goes on to answer, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." That's the clue of the parables. They're about the kingdom of heaven. They're about, this is their general theme, the kingdom of heaven. So what's the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's many things, but let me give you three items. It allows God to rule in our hearts as King and Lord. We make Jesus the King of our lives. We make Him the Lord of our lives. We are a true seeker and we want to live for Christ. We allow Him to rule and reign in our hearts. If we believe and follow and trust in Christ and the kingdom of heaven, then we're going to build His kingdom through proclaiming the gospel. Now, we can't do that on our own. It takes the Holy Spirit of God. Our job is to give it. Our job is to sow it. The Holy Spirit's job is to draw them, to win them. But we must be proclaiming. And then also about the kingdom of heaven, if we will truly understand that Christ is Lord of all, He makes no mistakes, all the circumstances of life, He is still in charge, then that will bring us comfort and that will bring us hope when life seems so dark, because He is in charge. We can notice this in a few parables. We'll just touch on them real quickly as an introduction. Notice verse 24 of Matthew 13. We see this general theme of the kingdom of heaven as it's illustrated in several of these parables, which all start with "the kingdom of heaven is like." Verse 24, another parable put He forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Verse 31, "And another parable put He forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field." Verse 33, "Another parable spake He unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." Verse 44, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hath hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field." Verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls." Verse 47, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind." Indeed, the kingdom of heaven was the theme of Jesus' ministry as He traveled from place to place. Go back to chapter 4 of the book of Matthew. In chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among them." He's doing that, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Additionally, the kingdom of heaven was the theme of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Go forward to chapter 5 and verse 3. Here we have the Sermon on the Mount in verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Notice verse 10. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Notice verse 19. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Notice chapter 7 and verse 21. Chapter 7, and looking at this general theme of the parables, chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So we have even Jesus' ministry, he's preaching, the theme of his preaching is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. But that's not the only theme we have in the parables. So we have a general theme, an encompassing theme of the kingdom of heaven. But then we have secondary themes that are stressed in these parables as well. First, there's the character of the kingdom. The character of the kingdom. So for example, the parable of the mustard seed. The parable of the leaven, the parable of the hidden treasure, and the parable of the pearl of great price. Those are all parables that have a secondary theme of the character of the kingdom. But then there's another secondary parable, a secondary theme in the parables. It is the character of the king. We can see that, for example, in the parable of the workers in the vineyard and the parable of the lost son. And then there's the secondary theme of the parables, the character of the king's subjects, found in the parable of the Good Samaritan and the parable of the persistent widow. Of course, the secondary themes often overlap in some of these parables, but they are clearly demonstrating the overall theme, which is the kingdom of heaven. So how should we, going forward, interpret and apply the parables? It's a daunting task to take the teaching of Jesus Christ and try to interpret them. But with the Lord's help and the Holy Spirit's help, that is our goal, is to understand what Jesus is teaching so that we can apply it to ourselves. He didn't just tell them nice stories. He did it for a reason. They're recorded and preserved in the Word of God for our learning. So with some closing thoughts, let's think on interpreting these parables. How should we do this? Well, may I say carefully, cautiously, depending on the Holy Spirit. But there's two extremes that we should avoid as we look to the interpretation of these parables. There's two extremes we must avoid. First is seeking to find some spiritual truth in every detail. Some of the details are just part of an earthly story. But there is truth there. So first, we must avoid to find some spiritual truth in every detail of the parable. And secondly, we must avoid saying there's only one spiritual truth in every parable. Oh, there's more than one. There's probably one general, but there's many truths. Some guidelines as we move forward in interpretation of these parables properly is first to learn from the explanations Jesus gave in the ones that He explained. He does not define every parable, but He does define some. Understanding the parable of the sower helps us understand other parables. You're like, how is that so? because Jesus said it. Notice over in the book of Mark, chapter 4. And Mark chapter 4, this is a great verse to understand as we move forward trying to interpret these parables. In Mark 4 and verse 13, Jesus is saying, "Know ye not this parable?" And what is chapter 4 but the parable of the sower? He says, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" So if you know the parable and understand the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus says you can know all parables. That might be a good place to start. If Jesus says we must know this one to go forward, to understand others, to understand all. So then Jesus goes forward and explains the parable of the sower. We also, as we look for these guidelines, we must look for the central truth of the parable, making sure we glean other truths that are within the parable that are in harmony with it, not disharmony. We must carefully consider the context of the parable. What is going on in the surroundings? What is the understanding of the situation that he speaks this parable? Looking for an introduction or an application which may give insight helps us with the context. So we'll be looking at those introductions to the parable as supplied by either the Lord Himself or His inspired writer. And then we should avoid formulating a new doctrine based on parables. Parables were originally told with concealment, so they are not always clear in their meaning. Therefore, we should not try to build a case for a new doctrine based on a parable alone. There are no new doctrines. So my prayer for this study, for all of us during this new series, is that we would be a people who want to hear, who seek for understanding, who want to be a truth seeker. Most commentators agree that those interested in understanding the truth of Jesus' words, especially in parables, will seek other truth to understand. But those not interested in the truth of the Jesus words and the parables are not interested in other truths. They're just curiosity seekers. The disciples had been given the gift of spiritual discernment, by which things of the Spirit were made very clear to them. Because they accepted truth from Jesus, they were given more truth. The same is true today of believers who have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 talks about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, coming. And it says, He will guide us into all truth. Do we seek truth? Do we want to know truth? Do we want understanding? Do we want to hear? Do we want to see? Do we want to understand? Our prayers for this study should be that the Spirit of God would give us a fresh understanding of God's Word. That we not just read the Scriptures, read the good stories, but that we would meditate upon them more frequently so that we can glean understanding. May these parables open our eyes into deeper insights into the Christian life, given us a greater desire to live for Him. That is our prayer, I pray, for this study. Studying the very words of Jesus Christ. No greater study could we do than to look at the parables of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us in this study. It's not going to be a quick, learned study. This is something we're going to have to meditate on, digest, seek the Holy Spirit's illumination and guidance. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would see our hearts, that we want to be truth seekers. If there's someone here tonight or watching through live stream, I pray if they're a curiosity seeker, You would touch their heart, draw them to Yourself, and help them desire to be a truth seeker. Help us through this study, Lord, that we might honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to come across any false interpretation, but to come across with the true interpretation. And then help us as we strive to interpret these parables, then help us to apply them to our hearts, to our lives, that we might be better Christians for Your glory. Bless, I pray, this study. Have Your hand upon it. Satan would love nothing more than for me to change this subject. He's tried this day to get me to teach something else. And Lord, I know this is what You want. Direct us. Help us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.